We can't understand why you love us. We can't understand why you use us every day. God, we come to you as sinners. We come to you as broken. And you love us enough every day to mend us, to bring us back, to allow us to understand the purpose and the need of every day. And God, as we sing that, I pray it just prepares our hearts and our minds. We should be more upset about what's going on in our world and how your name is being used and misused. And how all the world is looking to our God, of God, the King of Kings, and laughing. And God, I pray as we sing that we never forget how precious you are and the love that you gave so that we could have that freedom from sin. And God, we lift it up to you today. Pray you continue to have your will and your way within each and every one of our hearts as we study your word together. We pray this in your precious son's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. As we continue through the study in Galatians, last week, boy, we were on a fast track last week. It was quick. I take the blame. It's my fault that I only gave myself 15 minutes to preach because I know that's never going to happen. So we all suffered a little, about 10 minutes for that. But anyway, as we look today, we got to remember Paul starts this letter off like none other. Paul starts this letter off to the churches in Galatia in a way that he's never addressed the rest of them. And we saw last week how he drew the lines and how important it is for you and I to realize that we need to live our life in the world we live today by drawing lines. We should not be okay with everything that an evil, sinful world is doing. We have to draw lines where we're going to stand and we're going to simply say enough's enough. We're not going to tolerate that. We're not going to be a part of that. We're not going to do that. But the way in which that happens is God first needs to get each and every one of our hearts. Because listen, revival never began by a group of people. Revival begins by the heart of one man. One heart. One change. One desire. One exciting. Somebody that the world looks at that has absolutely lost their marbles. Because he is so on fire for God that he can't help but be contagious. You see, revival starts from within. And so we have these churches and we have Paul writing them a letter. And we realize that as Paul drew the line, two things he addressed. One was they were adding to the salvation. The theology was being distorted. And Paul's authority as an apostle was in question. So those are the two things right off the gate he begins to discuss in verses 1, 2, and following. And so as we saw that last week, we also realized that Paul, in most all his letters, like in 1 Thessalonians and Timothy and all that, he always says, and I thank God upon remembrance of you, right? He didn't say that to them. Paul said, listen, I'm not thanking my God and remembering you because what I remember about you is you're all falling away from the truth of the Word of God. And so Paul now, interesting, it's really good study. If you need something to study, go to the beginning of every one of the letters and see the address, how he addressed them. And every one of them are a little different. Every lot of the similarities in there. But it's interesting to see this letter does not have anything about thanking God and remembering them. Because Paul was on a mission. When we find the mission and we understand his greatest love and his greatest desire was that the truth of the Word of God never be hindered. Whether it was through his life, whether it was through the teaching. So when, and it was in a short order, because we're going to see today as we study through this, that there is only one gospel. Now before we begin this, as I shared a little earlier in the opening this morning, how we have many gods now have come into our world. Paul didn't hammer them for not believing in God. What he did is he's saying to them, listen, and he says the same thing in Romans chapter 15. You missed Jewish leaders. You missed the righteous gift of Christ. So it wasn't the fact that they were worshiping a false God. It's they were not accepting the change that God wanted. And think about that for a minute. Because I know we all love change. I don't understand why they didn't like the change. See, when you and I look at this and we understand this, we're looking at a group of people who were very religious, who loved God, but they would not accept Christ, his son. And so, you know, my fear is, as we have many gods in our world today, my fear is that there's a lot of people who attend churches who love God but don't know Christ. You see, it's just as a church started, they loved God but didn't know Christ. Same thing. We're going to go back to a point, I think, as the circle folds. I think we're going to go back to a time where everybody knows God, everybody believes about a God, everybody understands God, everybody loves God, but they don't know Jesus Christ. Because that's the only name you can't mention in a world today, is it? You can talk about any God. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about. Mention Jesus Christ and the Savior and the blood, and you have people upset at you. It's because that's what makes the difference. That's what got Paul so furious. Folks, we need to get a little bit more upset about what they're doing to our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to be on the front lines of ministry saying, listen, we need to get the message of the gospel out there. You know, one of the things I'm finding out in the years of ministry I've been involved in is that we're getting further away from talking about Christ, and we're worrying more about how we can perform for Christ. We're worried more about how the music can entice for Christ. We're worried more about all the things that we can do to, listen, Christ can't do it alone. We got to be there to help him out. And we've lost the focus of Christ alone when it comes to salvation. That's why Paul was so fired up. That's why we get Paul. I love this letter because he brings it home right off the get-go. And we're going to study that today in verses 6 through 10 and just look at 11 in the ending. But turn in your Bibles, if you have not yet, to Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, because it's here that we begin the understanding. Paul addresses their reality. Paul is addressing the reality of where they are at the present time. So verse 6 says, "And I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be the same that is troubling you that would pervert the gospel of Christ." So we're going to just read those two verses because Paul addresses their reality, and that's exactly what was going on in their reality. So first of all, we find Paul then is going to emphasize the gospel cannot be changed in verses 8 and 9. And then we're going to look at the last part of this is that Paul shared his motives, what Paul's motives were. So Paul's going to address this in a way of saying their reality. Then he's going to show emphasis on the gospel. And as you begin to read in verse 6, we find Paul addressing their reality. And how he addresses their reality is, "I marvel, removed from him." Those two phrases are basically where the whole argument lies. Because Paul says, when I marvel, he's astonished. An astonishment. What was so astonishing to Paul, or what was he marveling? It says in verse 6, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed." This letter didn't come long after. These churches were established on his first missionary journey, and it was shortly thereafter that the Judaizers would come in, and they would start adding things to the gospel message. And they were saying, well, yeah, you can listen to all that stuff Paul gave you, but you still need to follow the law. You still need to understand the Mosaic law. You still need to be circumcised. You still need to come do the sacrifices at the temple. You still need to come do all that. Paul's just adding to. And they believed them. As we saw last week, they were young babes in Christ. And as a young babe in Christ, boy, sometimes you just want to suck up all that truth, you know. You want to come and you want to study. And, man, it's contagious to be around somebody who just gets saved. I love it. Because what their mindset is now is, I want more. I want more. Give me more study. Give me more to read. What else can I do? Give me. And you start, you know, you just flood them with all the stuff. Then about a week later, they come back and say, you know, I can't read all that stuff. But anyway, you feed them while they're hungry, right? They're contagious. And these guys wanted everything. And what they did, the Judaizers took advantage of that. They came in, them wanting to know more about the truth, wanting to know more about God, but they gave them air. They gave him false. Folks, that's what's happening today. There are so many people searching for the hope of Christ. And they're searching in a way that you and I have. We have the message. We have the ability to give them Christ. And as we share that story and they begin to see the hope and they say, well, and this is true things been said to me, maybe to you. Well, yeah, but they don't do that at that church. Or yeah, but they play this at that church. They have no dress code at this church. They have such a dress code as at this church. There's spectrums on both sides. You see, what people are seeing is that they're seeing what we put in front of the simple gospel message. Because they're looking at us. They're looking at you and me. They're looking at us and say, okay, we are their only understanding of who God is by how they look at us, how they see us. What we do, what we don't do, how we dress, how we don't dress, how we sing, what we don't sing, how we preach, what we don't preach, what translation we preach from, what translation we don't preach from. There are so many things out there today that I think are muddying up the waters of the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Because they're looking at the people of the church instead of listening to the message of the church. And we have to know that. We have to understand that. We're not going to change that. Because they're looking, they're searching, they want to see, they want to know. And so they did the same thing. Judaizers come in and took advantage of that. Paul said again, as he was astonished that they came in, and then again that they called, removed from who? Interesting enough, there was no church. Today we just remove ourselves from churches as we go wherever we need to go or feel we want to go. And so it's not removing from churches, it's removing from Christ. Paul was upset because they were removing from him, the one that saved you by his grace. You're moving away from him. Why? Because they were moving away from the truth of the gospel. Do you know, folks, as Christians, every time we move away from the truth of the Word of God, we are removing ourselves from him. You can stand up and say, you know, I don't like what that church is doing. I don't like what that preacher's preaching. I don't like any of that stuff. And I'm going to remove myself from that so I can go over here. Be careful. Because I truly believe that there's a still voice in you that is allowing you to justify you moving away from Christ. Your desires are changing. Your wants are changing. Your way of doing things is becoming different. It doesn't mean they're all bad, but doesn't mean they're all right. Paul hit it directly between the eyes. You are moving away from Christ. Not Paul. It wasn't about Paul. Paul always said, listen, it's not about me. I'm a nobody. I am the what? Chief of all sinners. I don't deserve to be who I don't deserve what God has given. Anybody here deserve what God has given them? Well, we're all Paul's then. Because Paul said, I don't deserve anything. But since he's called me into it, as we saw last week in verse 1, he is called into the ministry not of men or by men. He's called in by God. Because God gave me this position, Paul said, I'm going to give it everything I have. I'm going to do the best I can with it. And so it's interesting, as Paul addresses their reality, he didn't say, but you're moving away from me. He didn't say you're moving away from the church. He didn't say you're moving away from anything but him who by his grace saved you. See, Paul's heart was all about Christ. And I really believe we need to get back into that. It's not about the address of the church. It's not about the location of the church. It's not about who else attends the church. It's not about the programs. It's about the people. It's about the church that's following the truth of the Word of God. And that's extremely important in our day and age today. Because there is so much out there that is adding to and taking place of. So we need to be careful. We've got to know the truth. And Paul begins to address that as we see in this verse. But the next thing we see is he says another. Look at verse 7. It's almost like a little bit of a contradiction when he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed in verse 6, called unto the grace of Christ to another gospel, verse 7, which is not another. And so we want to understand what this is saying. It's another or not another. Paul, which is it? Well, the interesting thing is, you got to go back into the Greek to see this. Because when we see this in the Greek, basically when Paul calls the other gospel, the Greek word there is used for different gospel. Well, that's what he used in verse 6. Well, we find out in verse 7, and verse 6 means like the qualitative. It's the quality of the gospel, the quality of the God you're worshiping. In verse 7, it means something completely different. Verse 7, it simply is translated another, also translated another, but it's another of the same kind. So there's two different Greek words in 6 and 7, and I bring that out because, again, Paul wasn't saying, you're starting to follow the idols. You're starting to follow the false gods. No, he's saying you're not following another. You're following one of the same kind. You're just not following them right. And that, I believe, explains churches in America today. It's not that they're worshiping a wrong god. I'm not sure they're following them the way that God would want them to. Now break it away from the word church and just put in the children of God. Put us in there. It's not that we're willing to follow any other god. I mean, we know who the true God is. We know that he's not an idol. We know that it's not a man that we go to confess our faults. We know that it's not a worshiping a person. What we do know is that there are many who are worshiping him differently. And it all comes down to the truth of the message of Jesus Christ. That's what got Paul fired up. Paul said, listen, it's not that you're worshiping the idols. It's that you're taking the truth of God and it's being distorted in you. You're adding things. You're taking things out of context. By the way, every cult started with truth out of context. Not one cult that you'll ever know, from the worst of the worst to the ones that are so close, ever started any other way. They took the truth out of context. We need to be careful of that. You know, Satan did the same thing, didn't he? Satan took all the truth of what he knew about God and deceived Eve. And he's been deceiving men ever since, trying to get us to think that there's a better way to worship God, that I can be more spiritual if I do it this way. Or I'm not even saved unless I portray some of these spiritual gifts. Listen, that's not in Scripture. Scripture says that if you believe in your heart that God sent his son to die on the cross and rose him again, you believe that in your heart and with a mouth you make confession of that, you're saved. It doesn't allow you to do anything else except praise God that you are now free from the bondage of sin. They were adding to it. And listen, we are living in a world, there are so many things added into that today. So many things. And we want to see the Christian before we know they're a Christian. And what I mean by that is they got to look a certain way. They got to be a certain way. They have to, you know, already be before we can accept them as. And I am so grateful that God looked at me and my worst, sinful, ugly self, and he came after me. He came after you. He saved us from where we were by his grace to lead us where he wants us to be. That's what upset Paul. Paul, you're disturbed. How could you go away from this so quickly and so soon? So we know that Paul was very, again, very upset on these two verses. And we see that he has brought it in again because why? And would pervert, in verse 7, the gospel of Christ. You're perverting the gospel of Christ. I'm a firm believer that when there is any type of confusion, Satan has somehow got his foot in the door. And you know, he gets his foot in the door through you and me. Because we may have opinions and we may have things that we want done, and so we come against or we voice it too strongly, and we need to be very careful. Because as I said last week, we are always and will always be this side of heaven, sinners saved by grace. Every day you wake up, the decisions you make will show the people in front of you which one you are, the sinner or the saved by grace. Because we're all capable of making them choices. We're all capable of going down the ways and the roads that we shouldn't go down. So in saying that, Paul said, I can't believe you're so soon to remove from the truth. The second thing we see, Paul emphasized the gospel cannot be changed. And this is the interesting thing, because when you look at the phrase again in verse 7 and 6 about the Greek word other or another, it also shows that the truth of the Word of God can be delivered differently. It can be delivered in different circumstances to different groups of people. We're not talking about the methodology. We're talking about the theology. The theology of God will and should never change. Look at verse 8 of the same text in verse chapter 1. But though we are, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And so what Paul is saying here in the beginning is that it's a hypothetical example. And what he's saying, if me or any heavenly angel preaches anything else but Christ, may they be eternally condemned. That's pretty strong words, isn't it? Paul's putting himself right out there. And of course, we know of an angel at one point in time who did this, and look where we are now because of it. Lucifer thought he was better than God too. Preached unto you. What was preached? Now, I'm going to bring it down to the basics this morning. What was preached? Christ alone. Christ alone saves. You see, the Judaizers and those Jews, they didn't need a history lesson on Israel. They didn't need a history lesson on the ways of religion. They didn't need a 101 theological class on God. What they needed was a relationship with Christ. What they needed to understand, that it was about the personal surrender to God. What they needed to understand is that within the heart of every man and woman, that decision needs to be made on a personal level. One of the things that I obviously experience a lot is doing funerals and by the bedside of many who pass away. In fact, we realized between the chaplains at the hospital, you know, it's been a good day when nobody dies. We have very few good days. Seeing all that, one of the questions that are asked a lot, I just don't know where they went. Do you know how heartbreaking that is? Do you know how heart-wrenching that is? Just to wonder and ponder. And some of you here today, I'm sure, have been affected by that. I just don't know which way they went. You see, that's why the gospel message is so important to share. But it also realize that it is a personal decision between a person and God. You may not see fruits of a life all the time. You may not see somebody have this road to Damascus like Paul did. How he changed. And, you know, really the only thing that changed in Paul was his purpose for doing what he was doing. Paul still was zealous, wasn't he? Paul still knew all about the letter of the law. Paul still went after people. Nothing changed in Paul except his purpose for going. You see, you and I need to realize that sometimes we may not see the evidence of, but bear record, that does not mean they weren't saved. Does not mean they weren't saved. In fact, I'm finding out now a lot of it is just the way they were discipled, the way they were taught, the way they were educated afterwards. Now, we obviously know Scripture says that we ought to know them by their fruits, right? Well, you're the fruit observer. You're not the fruit changer. You're not the fruit picker. You're the observer. So let me ask you this. In your life, are there days where someone would observe you more the sinner than the one saved by grace? Absolutely. Me too. Absolutely. So we can't always go on what we see. We can't always go on what we know. In fact, if we see, that's why Scripture in Galatians, we'll see later on, that we're to bear one another's burden. We're to carry loads for each other. We're to help each other. Why? So that we can solidify and verify. So that we can say, listen, this is what it looks like. This is the road you're on. This is where you're going to end up. Do you think as a child of God you want to end up there? We have the ability to talk through with people. We have the ability to encourage people. But we do not have the ability or should ever judge the heart of another person. Because when you do, whoosh, you've just shot off all opportunity to talk to them. All opportunity to minister to them. So Paul's not doing that, okay? He's just saying what we preach, Christ alone. And he's simply saying that if the angels preach something different, may they be eternally condemned. May I be eternally condemned if I preach anything but Christ and Christ alone. Listen, I tell you, it's exciting, isn't it? You know why? Because you don't need to be a Bible scholar to preach that message. You don't need to be somebody who is well-versed in the Bible to preach that message. Because we're going to start in the next week, unless you want to stay till. But anyway, better save next week's message for next week. When we look into his testimony, that's what Paul's message was. His message was his beginning defense of his apostleship, his beginning offense of the authority he had to preach Christ was his testimony. And so for you and I, our testimony has given us the authority and the right to preach Christ. Not a Bible degree, not a translation, not a church membership. It's simply what has Christ done for you? Has he changed you? Has he carried you? Has he helped you through life? And I really pray that all God's people say amen. You're making it difficult up here for me today. Man, God, Christ has changed our lives. He's helped us. He's carried us. He's lifted us when there's no strength left. That's your testimony. That's your message of Christ. That's what Paul is going to get into after we get in next week. I promise. I'll quit today sometime. When we look at this morning, I get a little excited about this because there are too many people in our world that are looking for the hope that you and I have. And so when Paul gets upset about this, he has good reason to get upset. The next thing, to be a curse, and we talked about that in the realization when he shared at the very end of that text, let him be cursed, basically eternally condemned, eternally separated from God. Paul now shares his motives, and this is an important part as we bring this to an understanding this morning. Paul's motives, as we always know and as he always preached, first of all, who am I trying to please? Look at verse 9 and 10. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach another gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Repeats verse 8 to a certain point. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Listen, folks, that's huge. That's huge. Because I and we and us and them, all involved, there are way too many times we worry about what man can do instead of serving God the way we should. Way too much. And we're all in that. We're all there. You see, that Paul asked that question. That's what that concept of that word there in verse 10, do I now persuade? Persuading is, who do I please? Who do I tell that I'm doing right? By the way, if you have to tell somebody you're a Christian, you're missing the boat, okay? Because your actions and your life alone should be enough to convince them that there's something different. You're just going to explain the difference, okay? You don't have to defend the fact, well, I'm a Christian. Well, when you have to defend that, then obviously they've seen something that don't go along with that. Our lives alone should be the first testimony. Our lives alone should be Christ and Christ alone. Because if he has saved you, if he has changed you, if he has done many great things for you, then you show your gratitude to that by living a life for him. That's how we say thank you. That's how we let God know that we appreciate what he's done. Who am I trying to please? Paul asked that question. The second thing, who should I serve? Those are two very, very important questions in Paul's life. Because he's saying, if I'm going to be here to please men, listen, common sense, and I know common sense isn't very common anymore, but we do our best to have it, okay? Common sense tells you that if you're trying to please people, you wouldn't write them a letter like this, right? You might be a little bit more, I thank God for you. Paul says, no, I'm not thanking God for you. I'm going to hammer you. So Paul is not pleasing men. He's not trying to get on their good side. Paul is trying to steer them away from the falseness of religion. There is a lot of false religion in our world today. And I'm not talking from the false gods. I'm talking from what used to be good fundamental believing churches, good Bible preaching churches. There's a lot of falsehood in there today. There's a lot of wrong principles and a wrong purpose and wrong meaning for doing what we do. And so when Paul begins this, he says, who am I trying to please? Who are you trying to please? As Paul says this. And then again, do I seek to please men? Do I seek to do it God's way? Do I seek to do it man's way? And all of that being said, Paul said, if I'm in it for the pleasure of man, I shouldn't be in it. I shouldn't be doing it. And so Paul's saying, listen, you got to understand my heart. Before Paul begins to show his authority and begin to defend his authority, is what we're going to look at next week. Paul said, you first need to understand my heart. You first need to know where I am and where I stand. And I'm going to tell you, I studied through this and I'm pulling this together in my head. And I think that ought to be a statement that every one of us make. Every one of us should be very clear to the people around us where we stand, who we are, who we belong to, and who we're serving. Because when we begin to serve man, you know what happens? We lose focus of Christ. We lose focus of the main reason and purpose that we even gather today. We lose focus of the whole reason why God has left us on this earth. Listen, God, do you think God needs all of our help? As I say many times, he'd done a much better job if he didn't use us. God has chosen not only to love us, to save us, to get us out of an eternal condemnation, but he also loves us enough to leave here so that we can serve him, so that we can share to other people, that we can share Christ to everyone else, that we can tell people about Jesus Christ. And by the blood, the new covenant, if we look at it, if you look at the Lord's table, it's the cup, the covenant, the new blood. It's God's way of saying, if you want to come through me, you got to go through my son. There's no other way. It's impossible to reach heaven except through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the message. That's why Paul got so excited when they were changing it. That's why Paul got so excited when everything else was added to it. And that's why a lot of younger people aren't coming to churches, because the church is trying to add to it. If you're going to really, you really want to be a Christian, then you're going to have to look like, dress like, act like, talk like, go like, be like, read like me. Like you're a standard or something. You see, every church has custom codes and creeds. Every church has a way of believing the truth of the foundation of the Word of God. Listen, the foundational faith of any church should not change when it's built on the truth of the Word of God. It doesn't change. The method of getting it out there, that's different. Because if you all were a bunch of 10-year-olds, I wouldn't be preaching like this. Maybe. You see, you got to know, and this is why Paul dealt with the reality of them first. You got to know who's in front of you. You got to know the people that you're preaching to. You got to know the people that you're witnessing to. You got to know them ones that are watching you around the workplace, or watching you go through things, watching, seeing how, you know, you wake up one day and your whole world falls apart and you stand back. How do you stand back up? How are you handling the evil of the world? How are you dealing with it? How are you doing it? And they're watching. Because when they see you stand back up, bruised, broken, hurt, but you stand back up and say, but my God's bigger than this. And yeah, I'm hurting. Yeah, I'm crying. You see, children of God were never told to never cry. They were just told to shed a tear and get back up. There's a big difference. You know, some people believe if you're a real Christian, you really believe in God, then you would not be. Well, yeah, we do. We hurt. We struggle. We have a hard time with life. Well, Paul is saying here, who am I trying to please? Listen, don't ever let someone else in your life be the standard of your life. Don't ever let someone else tell you how you should live your life for Christ. Let Christ tell you that. Let God tell you that. He's the one who earned the right? He's the one who created you. He's the one who bought you back by the blood of his son. He's the one who redeemed you. He's the one who has gone now to prepare a place for you, that when he goes to prepare a place for you, he will come back again and receive you unto himself, that where he is, you will be also. God doesn't like the separation. God never wanted to be separated from us. That's why when we have fellowship with him while we walk on the earth, that fellowship is so important. You got to immerse yourself in the Word of God. You got to talk to God. And Paul says, I can't believe you're falling away from this so soon. Listen, our world makes things very enticing, don't they? Very easy for you and I to fall away from the truth of the Word of God. Because maybe we favor a person in how they do it. Or maybe we favor a study because of the one who wrote the study. And the bottom line is, you have any questions about God? Why don't you go to the Bible? He pretty much told you about it. It's his statutes. It's his commandments. It's his laws. It's who he is. God was very clear on allowing you and I to know him enough to surrender, to serve, and submit our lives to him. He's not doing it blind. Now, if I would come to you and say, hey, why don't you submit to me, serve me? Yeah, you all say, hey, that ain't happening. But see, when God does it, he says, I want to get to know you. I want to know who you are, which he does. And he does that in a way that's amazing to our lives. As we see this, the last thing we see here, Paul's choice, verse 11. And this is going to be the transition verse from this week to next week. It says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Paul says, I want to go on record. I want you to know where I stand. I love the way Paul draws lines. He's drawing another line. I want to go on record. I want to certify. I want you to realize that what I am teaching you has nothing to do with man. It's Christ alone. Nothing changes a person except Christ. Not our rules, not our regulations, not what we think they should be, not how we think they should look. It's Christ. Someone comes to you in trouble. Someone comes to you broken. Lead them to Christ. Take them to Christ. Well, they're already saved. Take them to Christ anyway. Because you're not going to tell them, listen, here's what you need to do. Here's how you need to act. Here's how you need to respond. Listen, who are we? We're only God's messengers. And if we're not giving out the word of God, it's our message, not God's. We have no right to judge or change a man's heart. That all comes from Christ. And you know what that does? It frees me up of responsibility, doesn't it? When I get to heaven, I'm not going to be responsible for how anyone responds to none of my messages. That's not my responsibility. I'm going to answer for a lot, I guarantee that. And I'm going to answer for how I gave the message, the truth of the message. But I'm not responsible for how it's responded to. That allows me to focus on the priority of just speaking truth. All of us need to do that. Our lives need to do that. And I think Paul, in his way of sharing, there's only one true gospel, how important it was to him. If our lives don't match what our words we're using, then there's a problem with our testimony. There's a problem with our message. So our takeaway from this morning, how can we take this and go into a world? First of all, again, the questions. Have we added to the gospel? Now, the salvation, I would be the first to say there's nobody I know has added to the salvation part of the gospel. But I think we've added some extra things to what it looks like to be a child of God. You see, what does a sinner saved by grace look like? In the eyes of God, faithful, obedient servant. T-shirt, tie, that's not in there. Wherever God has placed you, wherever God has gifted you to be, bloom where you're planted. It's not about what you look like. Now listen, please don't take that to the extreme. Because it is important how you come to church, okay? We want to make sure we can preach modesty. That's what the Bible says. Modest, all right? Don't do a free-for-all on me or be in trouble. When we look at what God's word truly says, sometimes we focus on the wrong thing of it, okay? We need to get back to just true scripture of the gospel. The next thing we see, who are we seeking to please? That should be a very deep thought question in our hearts today. Who are we trying to please? And listen, let me help you all out real quick. If you want the preacher to not know you're not here, don't sit in the same seat every Sunday. Just saying. It helps me not know when you just move around, okay? That's allowed. One seat is not blessed more than another seat. I will say the ones up front are more cushioned because nobody sits in them. but they're not blessed, okay? They're not blessed. We need to realize how important that is in our life. We need to understand, who are we seeking to please? Is it God? Is it man? Because I really believe we're going to have to start drawing some lines if we're going to please God and not man. Because man is beginning to extremely go down that cesspool in a hurry. And he's dragging us with him. Dragging us with him. We need to set some lines. The last thing we need to see this morning, where we draw a line, make a stand for Christ alone. Easy to say today, right? Absolutely. Days are coming where it's going to get harder to make that stand. You see, that's why we need to determine our heart and life now, as Paul did. I'm clarified. I want to go on record that it's Christ and Christ alone. Period. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the study today. We pray as we continue to understand it, continue to apply it to our lives. And God, we realize the importance that it is just your Son alone. It's not about anything else. And we have gotten away from so much of all the other things, and we've tried to understand the in-depth knowledge of you. And God, we need to get back to the basics. We need to just simply get back to the understanding of Christ and Christ alone. Because it is only Christ in us that powers us, that gives us the strength to overcome. It is Christ alone in our life that gives us the victories of the everyday battles that we face. It is Christ alone in me that allows each of us to be able to withstand the temptations of this world. And God, I pray that as we just take that phrase today and we ponder on Christ alone, I pray it makes a tremendous difference in our life. Before I say amen in our prayer this morning, with every eye head bowed and eye closed, maybe you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. You've never come to that point where you've just simply said, you know, God, I need your Son. I know that I'm a sinner. I know, and I do not want eternal separation from you. And I realize today that you stated that through your Son is the only way. Maybe today you just want to say, Pastor, I'm struggling with this right now. Pastor, pray for me right now. Just raise your hand up real quick, put it back down. I'm just going to just thank you for that hand. Anyone else? Just, Pastor, pray for me. I'm struggling with this. I want to know. I want to understand. You see, because God allows us the grace to know and understand. God, as we just bring our time to close this morning, you see the heart. I only see the hand. And Father, I'm convinced that there are many hearts here today that you're speaking your still small voice into. And God, today I pray that we set aside all the noise. We set aside all the desires and the wants and all the things that so easily beset us. And we just listen today. And God, may we just raise it all to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. And God, we pray that in your Son's name, amen.